It's such a blessing of the Lord. We want to preach a sermon today, and it's really amazing how the Lord has given me some phenomenal statements in my life. And so before I give you the message here and before I give you the scriptures is, there's several things God has told me in my life that's totally changed my life. In 1978, driving a Toyota and I couldn't fill up the car and gas cost 59 cents a gallon, the Lord had me pull, I actually had to pull over so I could understand what he was saying. And he was told me he would give me a jet. And I thought to myself, I can't even fill up this Toyota. I'm going to have a jet. And the Lord gave me, I personally believe, one of the greatest statements he ever gave me. He said, Jesse, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. And for centuries and millenniums, the church has taught you to pay for things instead of believe for things. Because if you believe for things, you will pay for things. You won't have a problem whatsoever at all. Because see, God says, oh, no man, anything but to love him. So if he says he's going to pay for it, it's going to be done cash. Somebody shout, please. Praise God. So you won't have to struggle and try to get a mortgage on it and all that kind of stuff. Now, I know that's the Babylonian system. I understand that. But that was one of the greatest statements God ever gave me in my life. I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. He's always given me statements like this. And one time I was preaching and people told me to talk about the expenses of the meeting, and the Lord gave me this statement: budgets cost you something, vision brings you something. See, how many times you've had people say, we're going to receive an offering for the expenses of the meeting, and people like you go, it changes. Why? Because you're paying for something instead of believing for something. See, budgets cost you something, vision bring you something. If somebody gets something and said, let me tell you about what we're going to do, you do this. Why? Because that's very interesting. See, and God, so that's another statement that God gave me. And then this one here I want to talk about. If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse, I'm going to start reading verse 19 and 20. But before I do that, I was praying the other day to the Lord. And it was one of the amazing things. I was just talking because, you know, people ask me all the time because my hair is so white. But Jesse, when are you going to slow down or when are you going to retire? Let me make this announcement so everybody will know. When God quits giving me projects, he's always telling me to do something, you know, and he's giving me the strength and the physical strength to handle it, as well as the moral strength, as well as the financial strength to do those things. But I was just talking to him about so many different projects, because we have multi-million dollar ongoing projects at all time. It's always something God's wanting to do in the world. You know what I mean? Somewhere, somehow. And I was talking like this, and I said, and all of a sudden, Matthew 18, 19, that if two of you shall agree, I said, you know, Lord, you said in Matthew 18, 19, if two of you shall agree. And the Lord interrupted me. He said, I'll be you two. I said, what'd you say? He said, I'll be you two. I said, what do you mean be my two? See, all you've got to do is get somebody to believe with you. So many people are looking for thousands of people. Now, it's nice to have thousands of people believing with you, but all you need is one. You already got God. He's your two. And if you got me, I'm your three. If you got your sister, your brother, whatever, four, five, your name, whatever, I'll be your two. When he said that, that struck me. And I want to talk about that today. And the title of this sermon is this: I'll be your two. How many of y'all believe in God for something? Hold your hand up. I'll be your two. I don't care if it's spiritual, physical, or financial. You understand what I'm saying? It don't make no difference to me what you believing for. See, but I've got to do something if I'm going to be you too, and we're going to talk about that. In Matthew chapter 18, I want to start reading with verse 18. Jesus is talking. This is the red-lettered edition Bible. He says this: for verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Everyone look at me. You are working on two different planets at one time. You have the power to bind here on the earth. You have the power to bind in heaven. You don't realize the power of attorney of the name of Jesus. When you speak the name of Jesus, everything on the earth, above the earth, below the earth bows. So you have the power to bind something on the planet heaven, just like you got the power to bind something on the planet earth. Somebody shout, bless God. Do you understand that? Now, if you have that kind of power, you don't have no problems. All you need is faith in God. That's Brother R.W. Shambach's wonderful statement many, many years ago. So let me read verse 18 again. He says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now watch this. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the ability to bind and to loose is not only here. Let me say it again. It's also in heaven. Now the next verse is the verse I want to get to. He says, again I say unto you. Notice he had to say again. Because when Jesus said again, they didn't get that first verse. What do you mean? I ain't got the power to bind nothing in heaven. I don't have the power to bind nothing on earth. Jesus said, again, I say unto you. How many times you need to sometime hear it again? Hold your hand up. How many times you have to send a bunch of come here's to your children? They don't get it on the first time. So again, come here. Or if you're from a Cajun country, come see. Which means the same thing. Come here. He says, verily, and watch this in verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree, everybody say agree. Agree. Notice that. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. How many things? Anything. How many things? Anything. How many things? Anything. Now you see, the homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological world says those are only spiritual things. What does anything mean to you? Anything means anything, spiritually, physically, financially, morally, whatever anything is, you can have that. If you want another scripture, St. John chapter 14 says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now you watch what the church says. If it be his will. No, he didn't say that. They said that. When are we going to believe God's word instead of believing someone else's commentary or somebody else's experience? When that, we're going to wait another millennium. We're going to wait another century. When are we going to start believing what Jesus said? Somebody shout in this place. You hear what I said? You can call me a radical. Let me tell you what I am. If you want to know who I am a textualist. You know what I mean by textualist? Whatever the text says, that's exactly what I'm going to believe, even though my eyes is telling me something different. I'm not moved by what I see. I don't deny what I see. I deny its right to affect me. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not denying what I see. I am looking at the text, and Jesus said, if I ask anything, and I don't know what anything means to you, but bless God, when I send Kathy to the mall, she'll buy anything. You see, and that's okay with me. Hallelujah. Thought I'd throw Kathy in there for a second. She's here this morning. Let me make the sign of the cross before somebody kill me. But anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. Notice who's got to do the asking. You do. It shall be done. It didn't say might be. It didn't say, well, if the Lord feels right about it. Oh, no, no. He says, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So God the Father's getting the credit for what you're asking for. Did you get that? You see, that's why he said, that's why Jesus told me, I'll be you two. Why? Who's the number one? The Father. Who's the number two? Jesus. Who's the number three? We're going to get to him in a minute. The Holy Ghost. He said, watch this. It shall be done for them of my Father which is heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Who is the am I? The two. Jesus, I'll be you too. There am I in the midst of them. You got to understand something. Many, 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 I don't know how many, but many years ago, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost had a meeting. This is before any of this was all here. They had a business meeting. Now, I'm not going to try to explain to you the Trinity. If you want to understand the Trinity, look at yourself. You're a spirit housing a soul, clothing a body. I leave it to you. Your body sometimes fights against your soul. Your soul sometimes fights against your spirit. Now, God the Father never fights against God the Son. God the Son never fights against the Holy Ghost. They're a complete unit. They're three, yet they're one. Now, I know I'm going to get an ugly letter on that, but that's okay. I ain't going to read it. I'm going to throw it away. Just want you to know that. So I want you to understand. Don't waste your time, because I'm not dealing with foolishness here. I'm dealing with I'll be you too. If you believe in God for something, some of you need a miracle today. You got to have somebody believing with you. See what I'm saying? Not just, I hope this is going to work. Hope. No, hope is a blueprint, but faith is the building. You follow what I'm saying? So watch this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they had a business meeting. God the Father says, I think I'm going to create a species called man. Now, you got to understand something about angels. They go, what's a man? They never seen a man. Man had never had existed other than in the mind of God the Father. See, they had angelic beings, the wheel within the wheel, all the different things that you read in the scriptures. But see, God said, I'm a building, and angel said, what is man? That's why Satan hates you, because see, you were made in God's image and in God's likeness. So every time the devil looks at you, he sees God. Did you get that? You look like God. You want to know what God looks like? Look at me. I know what you're thinking. He's short and fat. No, he's not. He's so big, I had to plump up to get in so he can get inside me. But anyway, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. When you understand what I'm saying here, that's why Satan said, I will not bow down to that man. So God sent another guy named Adam, the second Adam. He said, oh, yeah, you are. Now, he's under your feet, Satan. Now, watch this. He says, I'm going to create man, a species. He said, I'm going to create him in my image and in my likeness. Now, watch this. I'm going to give him dominion. Are you ready for this? Over all the works of his hands. Now, was Lucifer created by God? Yes. Did I hear? Somebody shake your head. Well, then you have dominion over Lucifer. over any angelic being. That's why angels are servants and you are sons. Because you're in the family.
He made us an offer we couldn't refuse.
The La Familia. See, that's why Satan hates you. Because see, he is not family. He was not created in the image of God. He was created an anointed cherub that covereth, an angel. So man is on a higher class than angels. Oh, I'm going to get some ugly letters on that, but that's all right. It don't make no difference because it's all designed with you in mind. But God the Father said something way back then. He said, I'm going to create this wonderful species called mankind, but they're going to mess up. They're going to sin. But I still love them. I still want to have them. And I need someone to redeem them. And Jesus stood up and said, I'll be you too. Is anyone of y'all going to agree with me? I'll be you too. I'll be you too. That's what Jesus said. I'll go down there and put myself in man's flesh and will die so that mankind can come boldly to your throne in grace. Amen. Watch that. I'll be you too. Now the Holy Ghost, there were two or three are gathered. So the Holy Ghost is there too. He's the three. Now Jesus came and did exactly what he said of that meeting because Jesus did not die 2,000 years ago. That was his earthly death at Golgotha or Calvary. The Bible said he was a lamb led to the slaughter before the foundations of the earth. So before any of this was ever here, Jesus already had paid the price. Isn't that wonderful? We're so far in advance. If you just understand, quit trying to become what you already are. Yeah, you already are what God says, whether you feel it or not. So watch this. So Jesus died. He resurrected. How many of y'all believe he rose from the dead? Oh, yeah. Okay. And he ascended. Well, we lost our two. Jesus went. But you know what the Holy Ghost said? Jesus said, I must go away or the Comforter won't come. And the Comforter says, well, I was a three. I'll be you two. So he came down to substitute in Jesus's place to be the two. You see what I'm saying? So notice how much they agree together. When are we all going to agree together like the body of Christ should agree? Amen. We can agree to disagree concerning doctrinal issues, but we should never be disagreeable. Just agree to disagree. You may see something totally different. Let me read that verse of scripture again. I hope you're enjoying this. It says this, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, if you're taking notes, you write this down. When you understand this method of agreement, talking about what two of you agree, what happens? Something happens. Doubt loses its power. You understand that? Doubt loses its power, watch this, and your soul or your mind enlarges its capacity to receive the two-ness of who you are. See, I'm one with God, and yet, but I am his two. He's my two. Together, we get something done. Doubt loses its power. People ask me all the time, every time I go preach somewhere, how can you believe the way you believe? How can you fly, watch this, I'm going to make some of y'all mad, fly a corporate jet all over the world and don't give any church, anywhere, any expenses? Because I won't tell you, I'm not bragging on myself. Most ministers, if you're going to go to their church, you got to pay the expenses. Nothing wrong with that. You ask them to come. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it'd be kind of odd if you asked somebody to come sleep at your house, and while they were sleeping, you slipped the bill under the bedroom door. It'd be kind of odd, wouldn't it? You'd say, listen, I put my bedroom on sale for $49.99. You know, something like that. No, you wouldn't do that. But ministers have to make a living just like anybody else has to make a living. So they want the expenses paid. I don't charge expenses. I have literally sown on the expenses side millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars over the years that I've owned aircraft that the churches should have paid for. I'm not bragging on that. Why? I made up my mind. People say, and I've never had a financial deficit. You know why? Because Jesus is my two. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, he said, I'll be you too, Jesse. I'll take care of this plane. I'll take care of you. And my God, you ought to see, when my pilots come, they're usually very skinny when they come, and they gain weight when they're here. That's all I'm going to say about that, including me. Why? Because we go eat. I used to ask him, where y'all going? You know, because they always going, I want to go with them myself. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't, because they'll drop me off at the church. Why? Because, you see, we agree together. You see what I'm saying? And I've never gotten, one of my pilots is here, Ken, is here. I've never said, now, Ken, you can only spend $3 today. No, I go into the restaurant and I say, what do you want? Now, Ken's a pasta person. He loves pasta. Now, Eli, he loves a steak. The boy loves red meat. He can eat a cow down to the hooves. You understand what I'm saying? He can take him down. Bless God. And I don't say, no. That's too expensive. I say, what are you going to have? He says, I think I'll have a steak. I'll be you too. Why? Because I ain't paying for it. I'm believing for it. Yes, it gets paid. It's such a blessing. You see, and when you understand what I'm talking about, when you understand this agreement, doubt loses its power and your soul or mind enlarges its capacity. Now, I want to say this, and I'm going to say it slow so you can understand what I'm saying. This is another point. Listen to this. You can't express wants that you do not feel. Write that down if you're taking notes. You cannot express wants that you do not feel, because wants is then the avenue of feeling. Watch this now. But he who feels his want of God will be sure to pray right. How can you say, but Jesse, I don't ask God for need. I don't tell God what I need. I tell him what I want. Because you see, I can express the want. People say that's greed. No, that's growth. See, that's growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. The law is my shepherd. I shall not need. No, I shall not want. Children never ask you for a need. Am I correct? They tell you what they want. If you're a grandparent, I've said it so many times, or you're a parent, and you go to a store, right? And you got a child in a little basket or something, and it says, Mama or Grandma, I want some candy. Is that greed? No, that's just a child wanting some candy, right? You don't think, oh, you little greedy thing. No, you don't do that kind of stuff, do you? No. Oh, I want some food. Oh, but no. You give them what they want. You don't think that's greed at all because that's a child, right? Why do you think it's wrong to tell your Heavenly Father what you want? Because you're not God's adults. You are God's children. Now, my daughter is 44 years old at the time of this preaching, and yet I still call her my child. How many of you got children that are grown up? But they're still your children, aren't they? They're still your child, right? It don't matter how old they are. Why? They'll always be your child. Well, yes, we grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, but my God, we are God's children. So I don't tell him what I need. I tell him what I want. And when the law is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm going to put this on television. All you that listen to me. Listen to me, girl. If you tell your husband what you need for Christmas, you're going to get a vacuum cleaner, a washing machine, a toaster. That ain't for you. That's for the house. Shout, ladies, I'm setting you free here. Tell him what you want. Ah, and I'm pretty sure it's not a toaster. Even though you may need a toaster to toast his bread. You tell him what you want. You can't express wants that you do not feel. But he who feels his want of God, do you want God or do you just need God? We'll be sure to pray right. Now, Brother Jesse, when God told me, I'll be you too, it struck me when he said that. I said, okay, Lord. Now, you know how I've accepted that? Write this down. Coming together in unity of spirit, unity of mind, and unity of purpose produces something. What does it produce? It produces agreement and reaction. Coming together in unity of spirit, unity of mind, and unity of purpose. Because where there's spirit and mind, there's going to be some purpose. It produces something. What does it produce? Agreement and reaction. Now, let me explain. Let me read that verse again, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching. See, it's more than just agreeing with somebody. It's more than saying, okay. No, when you touch something, you get involved. An action and a reaction takes place. In other words, whether that person that you've agreed with is in front of you or not, because you not only agreed and believed, but you touched and said, give me a hand, I'm going to believe God with you. Now you got an action and a reaction taking place. And all of a sudden the devil says, we can't fight this. Why? Because now you've become a two. Did you get that? It produces something. Action, reaction, agreement does that. So unity of spirit, right here. Unity of soul, mind, will, and emotion. Unity of purpose of who you are. Purpose affords you anchorage in a time of battle. Purpose, if you're a person of purpose, you got foundation on your feet. Produces something. It produces agreement and reaction. See, now, let me just make this so simple that you need a good theologian to help you misunderstand it. What is the difference between heaven and earth? If you got the power to bind in heaven and bind on earth and loose in heaven, and loose in earth, how come we are not living on the earth like we be living in heaven? There's something wrong with that. Because the Bible says, our Father who art in heaven, if you're a Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? 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 As it is where? Okay. So in other words, your living here should be exactly like your living there. Right? Why did Jesus say that? Because he expects you to be a two. He wants you not only to agree with that, but to touch it. To have action and reaction behind it. So when people say, you say, my God, that's a Christian. Why? Because they do more than they say. What's the difference? One word. Discord. There ain't nobody fighting in heaven. Ain't nobody mad at anybody in heaven. Ain't nobody getting them saying, I'm leaving this church. Ain't no love in this church. Ain't none of that going on. There's no jealousy in heaven. There's no envious in heaven. Let me help you out. There's no prejudice in heaven. We're all the same color. What color is that? The color of Jesus Christ. You figure it out. It has nothing to do with your skin. Think about that. Discord. People get so mad at me because I will not fight people that hurt me. Why? Because, see, I want to live like I'm living in heaven. I've had some preachers just eat my lunch, just say terrible things. Some people have said terrible things about me that are not true. I mean, I thought, why? Jealousy, envy, people get mad at me because I have a plane. It ain't my fault. It's not my fault. I just became a two with the Lord. And I've owned 3 corporate jets. Oh, that made you mad, didn't it? Go ahead, make the sign of the cross. Go. Go on. And I'm about ready to get a 4th one. Yeah, it's going to happen. There's no other choice in the matter. Oh, I know what you think. You bragging. Yes. You done figured that out? Thank you. But not on me. On the God that's number 1 and Jesse that's number 2. Amen. You got it? As touching. It's the two. I don't own the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If Jesus tarries and I go by the way of the grave, all you that criticize preachers about playing, it don't come to me or my family. It belongs to the next person that takes this ministry. It belongs to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But they fail to tell you that when they report on those kind of things, do they? See, watch this. Let me say it again. The reason why heaven is so different from earth is because of discord. So I refuse. I've had people, I've blessed them, and they came and they took what they wanted. When they got what they wanted, they left. Now, you know what? I'm going to put this in the message. There are some things that I could do if the Lord would let me. Sometimes I want to tell the Lord, take a day off. Go visit Jesus somewhere. Y'all go to an island somewhere and let me handle this. I promise you, I'll have some work for you when you get back. It's called healing of their legs. Now, you know that's wrong. You know, I can't get God to agree with me on that. He will not be a two on that. No. I've read a scripture where the blind lead the blind. I said, I can make them blind. I put 2 ice picks in their eyes. Ooh, that's harder. But Jessica, you can get that mean? You better know I could. Before I was born again, oh, yes, I could kill you without even blinking. Why? Serve the devil. He comes to what? Kill. Comes to what? Kill. Comes to what? Kill. So I had his nature. Steal. Kathy, what? Did I steal some stuff in my life? Look at it. And I wanted her to be a thief also. That's the truth. But Kathy was a good sinner. I had the nature of killing, stealing, and destroying. I didn't have a number. Because Satan is 0. You should have shouted right there. He's 0. He's nothing. But when I got born again, God the Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ, made me a family member. I received 2 numbers at one time, 1 and 2. And then the guy that used to be a 3 came and lived inside of me as that 2. Called the Holy Spirit. Inside my spirit. This is good stuff. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? See, so I refuse discord. So when I do that, You know, there's some scriptures I wish I could change. This is one of them. Vengeance is mine. I shall repay. I said, no, Jesus, you need your money. Let me pay this. And you know, I even changed it. It's not vengeance, Jesus. It's justice. It's just justice. No, it's not. It's vengeance. See, because you have to love everybody. Now, how can you love somebody you're killing? That don't work. That don't compute. It's not even on the same planet. So when you understand this, you understand what I'm saying. I'll be you too. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Oh, I love that. If you shall ask anything, it'll be done for my Father's sake. So people, in other words, when you agree, when you become a two with Jesus, I'll be you too, Lord. God, the Father, angels fly over to the Father and say, they are magnifying you because of who you are and what you've done. Write this down. Never come to church without consideration. Write it down. Never come to church without consideration. The Bible says, and you go find the scripture, I can tell you where it is. Consider the apostle and high priest of your profession or confession, Jesus Christ. Consider your two. If two of us agree. You know why me and Kathy got a good marriage? She's my two. Amen. We agree. Now, there's sometimes we disagree on something. She's going to like something. She says, I don't like that. And I said, well, I like it. And vice versa. But we don't split over it. We agree to disagree. We don't become disagreeable. How many times you went to a restaurant and there's a lot of things on the menu you would never order? I am not a curry person. You know, curry stuff, it smells like body odor to me. Just don't get mad at me, to me. I don't like curry at all. Zero. It's like licking an armpit to me. I'm making this as gross as I can get. That's how much I dislike curry. I almost threw up right there myself. Oh, boy, y'all on television going, okay. I don't like it. You can understand how strong I don't like it. Now, watch this. But there's some restaurants I love to go to. It doesn't stop me from going to that restaurant because there's some things on that menu that I really like. So I agreed to disagree with the curry. But I didn't become disagreeable. I ain't going back to that restaurant because they serve curry. I ain't going back to that church because I don't like the pastor. Whoopee-doo. You're missing the good things on the menu. You understand what I'm saying? You're missing the good things. So you can agree to disagree, but you should never become disagreeable. I have some friends of mine that don't believe in speaking in tongues through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's okay. There are some people say, I don't believe in the rapture. Stay here. Just enjoy yourself. I have a house for rent if you stay. No, but if you don't want to go, don't go. See, I agreed to disagree, but I didn't become disagreeable. Never come to church without consideration. Who you considering? Not the preacher, not the worship, not the building. The apostle and high priest of your profession, confession, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now write this down. What is the ideal church? Let me tell you what the world thinks. Numbers. Well, if there's a big church, that's successful. Really? There's a church in the book of Revelation that Satan has a seat in it. Y'all probably been to that church sometime. The ideal church is not the large church. And it can be large. Not the small church. And it can be small. Not the middle-sized church. And it can be middle-sized. The ideal church is the Christ-like church. You understand? The Christ-like church. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you understand that, so people think it's very successful if you're asked to preach in the big churches of America and the world. Without sounding private on Eric, I have preached in the biggest churches of America and I have preached some monster churches. Great. And I've also preached in some of the smallest churches. Yes, one time I had a meeting at the very beginning of my ministry. The only person that showed up was the pastor. One person, the pastor showed up. And we had real bad weather. And nobody showed up. He said, what are we going to do? I said, sit right there. I'm going to preach to you for about 3 minutes. Then we're going to go eat dinner. And I preached to him for about 3 minutes. I said, do you need to get saved? No. Okay, let's get out of here then. Let's go. Now you laugh at that, but that literally happened. That happened in Lafayette, Louisiana. Many, 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 many years ago. Isn't that so? But you know what? We didn't feel, well, bless God. Oh, my God. I mean, that was just a fact. No, because he was there and I was there where two or three are gathered together in my name. Well, Jesus was there. God the Father was there. The Holy Ghost was there. Now, was I looking for other people? Well, sure. Who wouldn't want that? That's not the issue. But you know, we had a good time. And we both learned some things about God by just fellowshipping with each other. So never come to a church without consideration. The ideal church is the Christ-like church, not just a large church or a medium church or a small church. Now, what does it mean? What does that actually mean? I'll be you too. It means two things, power and presence. Write it down. When you say I'll be you too, it's touching. You're saying I'm giving you my power and I'm giving you my presence. Is this good or what? I think this is better the second time around, Lord Jesus, because I can explain it better. My power and my presence are with you. So when the Lord said, Jesse, I'll be you too, I thought, my God, man, my power and his presence is in me. And then when he says, Jesse, will you believe this? Yes, Lord. Then my power and my presence is with him. That's why I can believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible, because it's doable. What makes it doable is that power and presence, the prayer of agreement. We are going to agree together. Now, the time factor don't mean anything to me. I don't care about that at all. Why? Because when I agree, God said he's going to do it. So it didn't make no difference how long or how short. Now, I prefer it yesterday. Who don't? That's why Americans love fast food, because you get it fast. Right? And that's a good thing. I'm not against that. But what I'm saying is, when you understand I'll be you too, what you're saying is that your power and your presence is with them, which means now you're touching something. Now your agreement has produced action and reaction. But people say, well, how do I know? How does God know which one's a two and which one's not a two? Write this down. God doesn't count heads in prayer and agreement. He don't count your head in prayer and agreement. He counts your hearts. Because some people are agreeing with their head, but they ain't agreeing with their heart. Turn on your heart light. Now, we in Louisiana, we have a wonderful zoo. It's called the Audubon Zoo. Okay? I'm not allowed to go there too much because I mess up the animals. I have been told to leave the Audubon Zoo. Why? Because I watch a lot of animal shows. And when I get around them monkeys and them apes, I tell you what, son, and them baboons, I make them mad as a hornet. Because I know their signals of fighting, their signals of loving. I had a female baboon just like me one time. I just looked at her, and the male baboon went, oh, and she went like this. And that male baboon went slap crazy. Ha! And the man said, you are talking to these animals. I said, yes. He said, you have to go. So I went over to the chimpanzee, same thing. When I went to the gorilla, oh, that big silver bear. But yet the female gorilla was like this. See, I said that to say this. Anybody responds if you're speaking the right language. Oh, and what is the right language? I'll be you too. I'm your power. I'm your presence. You understand what I'm saying? When you understand, you have considered me, I have considered you. So God doesn't count heads just because y'all prayed and agreed. He counts the heart, because to be the two, you have to do it with the heart. See, the heart of God. Look at my chest when I say this. The heart of God is the Father. The face of God is the Son, Jesus. The voice of God is the Holy Ghost. But the hands of God is the church. It's very hard to do something without hands. Very hard. Can be done. But it's a lot easier when you have hands. So God wants you to come together in agreement of the heart. You see, but how do I know that I could pray right, Brother Jesse? Prayer always depends upon your manner of life. You will pray according to your manner of life. I got up this morning before I came to do this. And I have a chapel in my home. I built a room for God. It's gorgeous. It's like going back 200 years. It has pews in it, little pews that were in abbeys that were 1,000 years. They're 1,000 years old. Took 600 years to build them. I got some from Scotland in there and people's names on them. And I went in there this morning and I prayed and did what I call my morning devotion. And then I took Holy Communion so I could preach to you today. See, why? I examined myself. Is my two correct? Am I in agreement with number one, Father, number two, Jesus, number three, Holy Ghost, number four, Jesse? But we all come together to be that two. That the kingdom of God. People say, are you trying to build your ministry? I don't have a ministry, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's on the buildings, Jesse the Planter's Ministries, the Covenant Church. Yes, you see me on television. I work for a ministry. Yours? No. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a kingdom-minded, kingdom-building individual. Amen. That's my life. And everything that I do, when you understand that, then you're going to understand this. When you understand this promise, what promise? Let me read it to you again. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. What am I talking about? When you understand that promise, a new dawn lights up in your understanding. The light turns on. Turn on your heart light. Now, you know, we love Covenant Church. There was a song that Ottoman Zoo came up with. I went on down to the Ottoman Zoo. They all asked for you. Right? I thought about that. And I said, I can change the words. Went on down to the Covenant Church. They all asked for you. They all asked for you. Go ahead, sing it. They even inquired about you. They went on down to the Covenant Church. They all asked for you. The preacher asked. The pastor asked. I asked. Whoever else, the greeters ask, everybody asking. I'm trying to get to the word asking. What we're saying is if you come to our church, the local outreach of Jesse Franklin Ministries Covenant Church, we are wanting to be your two by asking. Asking you what we can believe with you for, and you can ask us what we're believing for. Do you see that? See, and when you understand that, a new dawn lights up in your understanding. How do I say this? I can say it in the Holy Ghost. Your soul connects 100% complete with your spirit, which means there's no discord. Then something else happens. A new warmth glows in your heart. You love people you don't like. You pray for those that despitefully use you. You bless those that curse you. I'm not saying it's fun, but when you have the new understanding and then of that power, something happened, and then a new warmth. I love that warmth comes in your heart. Can I, you know, the Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Let me show you the difference. Let's see if I can put it in the natural to make you understand what Jesus was talking about. When you receive something, you get excited. Somebody give you a new car. Wow, Lord. Hey, I mean, you just get, and that's great. That's wonderful. But when you give something, there's a warmness. Something happens. You go, you know what that is? That's what Paul was saying. I put you in remembrance of the words of Jesus, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Nothing wrong with receiving. You see, when you receive, you get emotionally high. When you give, you get spiritually high. There's a warmness that takes place inside of you. So let me say it again. When you understand that promise, what promise? That if two of you shall agree, a new dawn lights up in your understanding, a new warmth glows in your heart. And now watch this. A new power is given to your will. You now say, not my will, but thine be done. Your power. You know how people lose weight? It's not the diet that does it. You may think so. Uh-uh. It's the willpower that does it. It's when you tell that chicken leg, no. Or that piece of pie, no. Or that cake, no. And you know, everybody's taking the credit of their food. Now, it ain't the food. You could eat anything you want. If you control it, so that it controls you. Amen. It's called portion control. Amen. Didn't say you couldn't eat it. Didn't say you couldn't taste it. Couldn't say you couldn't have some of it. Don't misunderstand me. Now, you know, Cajun people, they love cholesterol. If you're from South Louisiana, you like everything fried. Lord, gee. Southern people love fried. And when you talk about Southern cooking, you know you're going to eat good. Nobody ever goes to a Southern cooking place, they don't come out smiling. Why? Because they ain't nothing healthy. Even the vegetables has got oil dripping off of it. Butter, macaroni and cheese, comfort food. Ooh, Jesus. You go to all those other restaurants. Oh, well, man, you're going to live longer. Who wants to? If two of you shall agree, which brings me to this, watch this now, a new power is given to your will. You should have seen me when I married Kathy. I was good looking. You got to see it by faith, but I was small. I was little. I weighed, good God. My leg is bigger now than I was when I married Kathy. And I'm going to leave that other part out of Kathy's size. But anyway, praise God. But Kathy was 95 pounds when I married her. 95 pounds. When she got pregnant with Jody, the highest weight she got at 9 months was 117 pounds. And within a week and a half, she was back down to 95 after she had Jody. Isn't that a blessing? She didn't have to struggle on nothing. Now, that's not today. That's all. No, whoa, don't read into that. No, Rich, you reading that something bad into that. Because I'm going to try to say this correctly for Rose's sake so she can understand. She's a lady that works for me here. Watch it. It don't make, and Kathy's not doing this, but it don't make no difference how fat Kathy gets, how skinny she gets, how old she gets, how much she sags. And vice versa. That's not going to change my relationship with that woman. Because I said before the priest and before God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, I'll be you two till death do us part. Somebody shout somebody. Did I say it right, Rose? Did I say it right this time? Okay, glory to God. Hallelujah. Rose told me I stepped over the line the other day. Glory to God. What I was trying to say, listen to me, you that are watching. I'm trying to set you free. You know how many counseling sessions I had with women that are so beat down because their husbands say you're fat or you're ugly and all that kind of stuff. And I got to looking at them. They bald headed. They got a beer belly on them. My Lord, their legs look like a chicken leg and their body looks like the blimp. And they worried about their wife. Now you laugh at that, but there are a lot of women, my God, that are under pressure over those things. So it wasn't a wrong thing. It doesn't change my relationship with Kathy. Whether she gets heavy or she gets skinny. Whatever, I don't know. Whether she dyes her hair, covers whatever she wants to cover. It don't make no difference. That's not going to change my relationship. Amen. And it makes no difference with God neither. He ain't going to change his relationship with me.
Amen.
Why? Because we cut a covenant together. I said, I'll live for you all my life. He said, that sounds good. I'll be your God all your life. And then you can come to heaven with me and for eternity we'll walk together as two. Amen. Somebody shout over that. Amen. That's what I mean by a new power. A new power is given to your will. Not my will, but thine be done. And then this last thing, a new tenderness is given to your conscience. Tender. You're not hard on people. The Christian church, the Muslim church, most churches are hard on people that don't think like them. Oh, I'm telling you one thing. There are some things in the Bible that if God wouldn't have said nothing about it, I don't care who you sleep with. Let me get on something real sensitive here. That ain't none of my business who you sleep with. But God put some laws down.
Amen.
He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, you mean I want to drive 55 on I-10 in New Orleans or I-310, but you better, because there's a guy in a cop car going to say, I'm going to humble you. It don't mean whether you feel it or not. We're having all kinds of things. I mean, listen, people ask me all the time, every time, if you're being interviewed by a television person, there's two things they're going to ask a preacher like me. What is your stand on homosexuality and how much money you got? That's about the only two things they really want to know. Well, first, I'm not against homosexuals. I'm not against transgender people. Don't turn me off yet. Listen to me. Who am I to judge them? But God said some things about that. Now, if you got a problem, you don't talk to me. You talk to God about that. Well, I don't believe that. That still don't change it. But I don't feel like a man. Even though you feel you're a woman. How do you know what you are? Check your equipment. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, but I don't feel like. Let me get over here. You know, sometimes I feel like Hercules. What are y'all laughing at? What's the problem? I don't have the equipment. Did you get it? I don't have the equipment. I love to be Hercules. Reminds me of a movie I saw with that black actor. Ooh, Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. I can't think of the name of that movie, but it's so funny. Yeah, the nut. Hercules, ooh, Hercules. I don't care what you feel like. You ain't Hercules. Am I right? No, you're not. You may want to be courage, but you're not the cowardly lion. I am the king of the forest. Oof, oof, oof. You know how he does it. I love that. It don't make no difference whether you feel it or not. You are what you are. And I'm going to tell this story. See, a new tenderness is given to your conscience. Years and years and years and years ago, when Kathy was young, just a joke. I just had to throw it in there. Kathy wanted some new bedroom furniture.
Oh.
Yes. All right. I said, okay, me too. So we went to a store that we loved and we met a person there, and I'm going to change the names to protect the innocent here. His name was Ralph. Now that's not his name. Okay, I would just call him Ralph. Ralph knew everything about furniture. We were looking at a particular set, and he said, I know it's pretty, but I would advise you not to buy it. It won't last. There was a prettier set that was actually cheaper, and we liked it too. He said, now that is a good set. That'll last you forever. And Ralph was so good at what he did, because he not only sold the furniture, he took it all the way to my house in a sense. He said, now when he put it together, I'm going to make sure I don't want him stripping the boats. And this Ralph was good at what he did. Okay. All right. Well, my God, man, it was wonderful. We bought it and it was a blessing. Well, a few years passed, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. I said, we needed some more furniture for another room and all that kind of stuff. And what we want to do, so I said, let's go back to that store and look for Ralph. Hope Ralph is still there. And it was 3 or 4 years maybe. So we go, we walk to the furniture section. Watch this, now new tenderness is given to your conscience when you, two of you agree. Watch this. And I said, excuse me, is Ralph still work here? He goes, oh, what did you say? I said, I'm looking for a salesman. I don't know. It's been several years. He may not be here anymore. Ralph. I want Ralph. Because he did such a phenomenal job. Explained it to us and everything. He said, well, he's stumbling. He said, no, Ralph's not here. Rochelle is here. I'm changing the names to protect the innocent here. I said, Rochelle. No, I don't want Rochelle. I want Ralph. He said, let me introduce you to Rochelle. This guy's pushing Rochelle on me. I don't know who Rochelle is. I walk down this aisle, and there I see a lady with a hair flip like this from the back. And the manager says, Rochelle. He turns around and it's Ralph. He goes, oh, hi. Hi. I remember you, Reverend. Can I help you today? I want to say, what happened? He said, I'm no longer Ralph. I'm Rochelle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't go there to talk about that. I went there to buy some furniture. But sometimes things just get in your face. I had a hard time. I thought, Rochelle's the Ralph looked a lot better than Rochelle did. I said, well, we want it. Rochelle's your name? Yes. We need some more. Oh, let me just show it. And I'm telling you, exactly the same as it was years before. Rochelle knew exactly what Ralph knew. I mean, down to the teeth. I've never had anybody else ever that good when I went to buy furniture and things like that. Make a long story short. So we decided to buy this particular set of furniture. Now this is Rochelle. It's still bothering me, you know. I'm going, and I'm about ready to say, I want to know what happened. He's transgender now, okay. He says, I tell you what, Reverend, I'm just having fits. Don't write me no ugly letter. Because I hadn't said anything about his change. I want to use the woman's bathroom, but this store won't let me. Oh, now I got your attention, huh? I went, Rochelle. I said, let me help you here. And I honestly believe this. I think most people that are transgender wouldn't hurt anybody. If you've ever seen, most of the ones that I've seen, they don't seem like they would hurt anybody. They wouldn't hurt, you know, they're just trying to find themselves. They lost out here somewhere. See what I'm saying? I said, I don't think you should do that. I just think I'm a woman inside. I said, so instead of saying, let me tell you something stupid, you know, and say some names, but because I had agreed to be a two, a new tenderness had been given to my conscience. So I decided to appeal to the sensibilities of Rochelle. I said, now, let me tell you something. I don't doubt that you're not a nice person. I don't know. I said, all I can say about you in my relationship and my wife, you have been nothing but a blessing to us when we came in here for these front. This, I mean, best I've ever seen. Thank you, Reverend. I said, if you they let this stuff start happening, I said, there's going to be some pedophiles. There's going to be some people that are going to say, I feel like this and I feel like that to get in them bathroom. You probably would never do. I would never. I said, I know that. I don't doubt that you're a good person. I know you wouldn't do that. But there's some crazies in here that want to get to some kids in there or somebody. And I said, if you would just think about it, it might be nice that you would use the bathroom that when you was Ralph. Okay. And you're going to freak all the guys out when you walk in there and just say this, how y'all doing? And that'll shut them up. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I said, that way you'll protect some people. Now some people say, oh, it's never happened before. Listen, when you open up a door for the devil to go into, it can be a crack. He's going to blow an 18-wheeler through there. You know, Rochelle understood that. Because I don't believe Rochelle would ever do that. She's trying to find herself. You follow what I'm trying to say? I don't think she would have hurt a child or hurt a person in any way, shape, or form of that. They just want to be who they are. Now, I know I'm going to get some ugly, but bless God, you ought to tell Ralph, Rochelle, whatever, they're going to hell. Whoa. You may be going to hell with that attitude of yours. Don't shout me down. I can't judge people. I leave that to God. It's God's job to judge. It's our job to love. Now, we don't agree with sin and keep sin just because being politically correct. No, sin is sin. Sin is a cancer. If you don't cut the cancer out, if you don't get the cancer out, it will kill you. It has to be eradicated. But I don't think homosexuals are cancers. I don't think transgender people are cancers or lesbian. But I think The lifestyles can produce that. Oh, I'm going to get ugly. I don't want that. No. Well, let me switch it over to the heterosexual. It's the same way. If you're a heterosexual person and you committing adultery and fornication and doing all these different things, my God, man, you can cause the same problem anybody else is causing. You can spread disease. The devil done got so smart, now he's got mosquito spreading disease. Zika viruses and malaria and yellow fever. People would leave the city of New Orleans at certain times because the swamps were so full of mosquitoes that they would go all the way up the river until, and you know, they would burn tar, do everything they could to kill. They didn't know it. They didn't know that it was the mosquito producing yellow fever, but they eventually began to find out about it. I'm saying all that to say this. I don't believe in those kind of lifestyles. I believe what the scripture says. But the scripture's not beating your brains out. The scripture is putting a law down for you to follow. You know why they put speed limits on roads? Because people will kill themselves if they don't. People get crazy. And then what happens is you drive and drink, and then you kill somebody, child that they love, and then you say this from prison, "I'm sorry." Well, thank you for saying that, but that family's got to live without that individual for the rest of their lives. Come on. So instead of just thinking about yourself, how about think about other people too? Amen. Other people too. Other people too. I'll be you too. So even though I feel like Hercules, and I don't have the equipment, sometimes I've been in some weight places and somebody needed a spot. You know what I mean by a spot? They're doing a bench press. And I went over there. I said, "I'll spot you." Why? Because I ain't got to pick up the whole weight. Now, I wasn't Hercules, but I was able to help Hercules. See, I became his too. I mean, the guy got up and he couldn't put his arms down because his back's like it. See, I'm not a Hercules, but I can help Hercules. Oh, you understand what I'm saying here? Is this good or what now? Yes. I'll be you too. And when you understand that, this new tenderness, I love that, is given to you and given to your conscience. So let me read that scripture again and close. Verily I say unto you, verse 18, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I love that. This is Jesus talking, ladies and gentlemen. It's in red here. This is his words. For where two or three are gathered together, and there am I in the midst of them. I'm going to say this last statement. Consulting together brings intelligence. See, when you become a two, you get smart. Consulting together brings intelligence. And agreement together gets God's attention. Every day I ask my wife, Kathy, can you, Jennifer, get a shot of Kathy here real quick. This happens every day. Let me get here where you can see her. Can you get a shot of her? Is that possible? I'm in a way. I say, where do you want to eat? That's every day. Every day. Twice a day. Kathy don't cook. She'd been delivered from the bondage. But when she does cook, it's great. Okay. She'll say this. Go anywhere you want. She's not agreeing with me. She's actually lying right there. I don't care. Just go anywhere you want. All right. Me, I can eat the same thing every day for the rest of my life. I don't need change. I just like something I can just eat there. So I say, let's go over to that place. Why is that? She just told me anywhere, right? Now, she was agreeing with me, but she wasn't touching with me. She hadn't put action and reaction with me. I said, well, let's go over there. I don't want to go there. So then we have to start all over again. Well, then where would you like to go? Why don't you just tell me the first time? Because I'll find something somewhere. And if I can't find it, then I'll just drink something. And that just drives her nuts. Why is it? She'll order something because she wants it new and she don't like it. But she wants what I ordered. Does that make any sense? I knew I would like that. And she goes, oh, do you want this? No, I don't want this at all. Can I have yours? swap it over. You can have it. Yeah, but then she says, you, and my daughter says the same, you just eat the same thing all the time. Well, we have a granddaughter now, and she's just like her grandfather. And the other day I had to fly out to preach, and Meredith M was coming over to sleep. We get excited when she comes over. She says, "Grandfather, Mimi, I think I'll have a sleepover." We get all excited. Come on, girl. We just enjoy it. So Kathy calls me. I'm flying at 600 miles an hour, going to Virginia. And the satellite phone, first thing I think of, something wrong. I pick it up and go, "Hello," and that's Kathy. She says, "Hey, Jesse, guess where Meredith wants to eat? One of my favorite buffet places." I went, Kathy hates it. She calls it the crusty canal. I've been wanting to go there. Oh, I got a fighter. Now when Meredith wants to go, she said, "I want to go there because they got a chocolate fountain." Guess where Kathy went? To the crusty canal. She went on down to the crusty canal. They all asked for you. And she just ate with Meredith. I hung the satellite phone up and I went, "Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you." She became a two with Meredith. So from now on, when I want to go there, I'm going to call Meredith and say, "Meredith, I'll be you too. I'll be you too." And you know, when I got back, both of them were still sleeping. I went, it was real late. And I didn't want to wake them up. But I told Kathy, I said, "You tell Meredith that grandfather going to kiss her on the cheek while she's sleeping." And see, Meredith wants me to sleep in the same bed with her and Mimi. But the problem with Kathy and Meredith is their legs. Kathy takes this whole half with that leg over here. Meredith slams his other half. Now, how am I going to get in here? So I have to push Meredith's leg. And then I put my shoulder against Kathy. No. Is that okay, Rose? Is that all right, Rose? She said, you're getting close. Don't cross the line. And I just slip in, and then it starts. And if you've ever slept with a grandchild, they will kick you all night long. You will suffer, but you don't care. You just, dum. You're going, "I'm not going to sleep tonight, but it's just so nice." And you wake up, "How did you sleep, Meredith?" "Good. How did you sleep?" "What?" And then she wants to cuddle. Now, that's what we like. We like the cuddling part. It's just fun. She's 8 years old. It's just such a blessing. So I tell her, I said, "Listen, I won't wake you. I'm trying to sleep in her bed." She has a special bed in our house. I said, "I'll go sleep in your bed." "Oh, no, Grandfather. I want you to be with me and Mimi." You know, sometimes we kick God all night long. Because sometimes we just not his too. But you know what? He going to suffer through it. "My mercy endureth forever." And when you wake up in the morning, he says, "How did you sleep?" "I slept good." "How did you sleep, Lord?" "I don't sleep." I'm Jesse Duplantis, and I approve this message. Give the Lord a great hand clap. I'll be you too. I'll be you too. Come on, stand up. Give the Lord a great God bless you. Come on, let's just bless him today.